inspired by your spirit and informed by your word. Amen. This morning, I would like to, this evening, sorry, a bit later than the morning, I would like to look at Psalm 131. I'll give you time to find it in your Bibles. Hello? Yeah. No, I didn't know. I'm in the middle of a meeting. I'm going to learn from that and switch my mobile off. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I've composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. A Song of Ascents of David. If you didn't know that this was a Psalm of David, would you actually think that David was the author? I mean, David, even as a young teenager, would spend his time keeping sheep safe from bears and wolves and lions in the wilderness of Galilee. And also, I mean, when he was not 17 years old yet, because 17 is the year in which you would have been recruited into the army, and he wasn't. When he was younger than 17, of course, he had the assertiveness to challenge Goliath and to actually kill him with stones fired out of his sling. I mean, that's kind of like an extremely assertive and powerful person. And he did become king. People actually, or scholars actually, think that this psalm may have been composed when Saul put David on the run, actually complaining that David was trying to become king before God actually called him. Or alternatively, when he did some very public dancing, worshipping the Lord, and Michal complained about it as being very exhibitionist. I mean, David was not your most quiet person, was he? And yet he wrote this psalm. What kind of man do you think would write this? What kind of person would it be described? Was it even written by a man rather than a woman? But David is clearly the author, claims that he was, and it's one of 15 psalms called the Songs of Ascent, which were actually sung by pilgrims as they went to Jerusalem for a major feast. How does it start? O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. David is the king at this time, writing publicly used psalms. And yet he starts by saying, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Even when the Lord gives us responsibility, even if he gives us authority, our hearts should not be proud. Pride is very much thinking that, well, I'm in this position because of me and what I have to offer and my values and my strengths. and your eyes are haughty. They look up. They look up to the sky as if to say to people, look at me. David says that you should not be like that. Your heart should not be proud, and your eyes should not be haughty. Even when the Lord gives us things to do, even when he gives us responsibility and the authority to do it, we should not be proud. It's not going to be achieved by what we are, but who God is working through us. Even in positions of public responsibility, in order to truly succeed, we must be dependent on God rather than arrogant or conceited. Because ultimately, everything of value in our lives comes from the Lord. Our hearts should not be proud, nor our eyes haughty. We should be looking at the Lord rather than looking at the skies and thinking that people should be looking at us. People should not be looking at us. People should actually be looking at the Lord. And if they looked at the Lord, then they would be given responsibility. They would be given things to do. Because the strength to do things properly comes from your relationship with the Lord. And because he is the creator of the universe, how can you have a relationship with the Lord unless it is based on dependence on him? Oh Lord, my heart is not proud or my eyes haughty. May that be the beginning of our lives when we're asked to do things, just like it was so important for David, and why he actually became the model of kings, because his heart was not proud or his eyes haughty. He knew how to use responsibility and authority properly. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or things too difficult for me. I used to play rugby as a child. More rugby games are lost by getting the simple things wrong and making simple mistakes than are ever won by being clever or brilliant. Our coach always taught us to make fewer mistakes rather than to think that we were brilliant and try to act in a brilliant way. If you get the simple things right, you're more likely to succeed than if you try the complex. I don't involve myself in great things, in great matters, or things too difficult for me. Indeed, let's just do the basics well. Let's keep within the dimensions that God has given us in terms of skills and abilities. Let's not consider things that we can't do or things that we don't understand, but focus on getting the simple right and do it properly. Let's not involve ourselves in great matters or things too difficult for me. Even David, as a king, knew that being a good king depended on doing the simple correctly through trusting in his relationship with God. He composed and quieted his soul. Composed his soul rather than let it drift. And also, he quieted it. How do we quiet our soul? How do we keep composed and peaceful? Again, by admitting and executing our dependence on God, and how God, as the author of all things, should be the author of our lives, and we should stay within the dimensions that he gives us. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. A weaned child is no longer on the mother, dependent on the mother's milk. Can be independent if they want to, but that independence is not wise, it is not healthy. It's beautiful to see a picture of a young child who no longer needs the dependence on the mother's milk, but instead is restfully and peacefully in a relationship with his mum or her mum, as well as the dad, and is basically just acting like a child should within the towards their parents. I want to be in a relationship with them. They can feed me. I would rather be dependent on them than anybody else. I would rather take things from them than from any other source. Let's rest against our mother. My soul should be like a weaned child within me, completely dependent on God, even though if we don't need the basic milk anymore, rather than asserting our independence as we grow up as believers, we should still be humble rather than haughty. We should still be concerned with the basic rather than the extreme. We should still compose and quiet our soul, and we should rest against the Lord and be close to Him so He can speak to us. Our lives should be under His throne. Our lives should be close to Him. As we grow in the Lord, instead of thinking, well, I'm an adult, I can depend on myself now, we should realize that we'll always be the spiritual children of our Heavenly Father, and we should always be dependent on Him, and we should always be close to Him and intimate with Him, and we should always consent to Him being the Father and the author of our lives. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. In a sense, gender is a result of creation. But God is a person who usually describes himself as a father and acts in a paternal way. This is one of a minority of cases in Scripture where the Lord is happy for David to describe him within Scripture as a mother. The Lord is, in a way, our mother as well as our father. He is our complete parent, and our lives should be totally focused on our relationship with Him. We should build dependence on Him. And even as we grow up, as we become a believer for 10 years instead of one, or 50 years instead of 10, the older we get, the more mature in a sense we are, the more we should recognize that behind it all, we're always going to be dependent on our earthly father, who sometimes mothers us as well. And we should look at him for our care and for our support and for our values. And we should let him feed us. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Hope in the Lord, not yourself, not what you see around you, but hope in the Lord. Put your trust solely and exclusively on Him. He is your parent. Don't be conceited or proud or haughty. Don't think that becoming older makes you more independent of God. In fact, being more mature as a believer should actually make you even more aware of your dependence on Him for everything. Things which are difficult for you are not difficult for Him. So compile, compose, and quiet your soul and depend in Him. Hope in the Lord for this time and forever. Put your trust on the Lord as your deliverer and your support, rather than anything that you think that you can do or people around you can do. A passage in the New Testament that I feel is a bit parallel to this is in Philippians 4. And in a sense, Paul is like a similar biblical character to David. Only Paul may be even more so, because he started as a very active enemy of the Lord Jesus before his conversion. And he was like David, was almost like a natural leader of men. What does Paul write in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellent and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, praise should be part of our everyday life, part of our every minute experience. Even when we're doing other things, rejoicing in the Lord should be at the back of our minds and consciousness. Have a gentle spirit which is known to men, for the Lord is near. Very much reflects David said, don't be arrogant, don't be conceited, don't be assertive, but instead have a gentle spirit. Let people voluntarily choose you as a leader rather than force yourself upon them. Certainly something which David did and Paul did. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing. If you suddenly find yourself in a difficult position, don't try and measure it out and solve it by yourself. Instead, be anxious for nothing. Trust in the Lord. The Lord can deliver us from any situation that He wants to. The Lord is our deliverer. The Lord can take us out of hard and difficult places. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Don't try and solve the problem yourself. Make a request to the Lord and ask the Lord to change the dimensions of your world in order to solve the problems that are within it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and minds. When we are anxious for nothing, when we depend solely on the Lord, His peace comes upon us which surpasses comprehension, and it guards our hearts and minds. The peace of the Lord guards our hearts and minds from the fears around us and from any opposition or difficulty. If your life is under pressure, if your life is under difficulty, don't be anxious for anything. Ask the Lord with prayer, and may his peace come upon you and guard your hearts and minds until the circumstances change. Finally, brethren, focus on the right things. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent things worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I think Paul was very much in a similar mold than David. They were both active leaders. David, after all, was the deliverer from Goliath, who later became the king. Paul was a church planter, an apostle who wrote books that ended up in the New Testament. And yet, ultimately, rather than recommend that you know how big you are and you assert it, instead, they say, don't be haughty. Keep within your limits. Be modest. Don't be conceited. Trust in the Lord. Don't be anxious, but trust in the Lord to deliver you from any hard and difficult circumstances. Trust in the Lord. May he be your peace. May he be your savior. Put your lives under his throne, and also let him parent you like a loving mother, as well as, I'm sure, a loving father. I pray that we may learn the lessons of this psalm and what I think is a parallel passage from Philippians. Lord, I pray that we may be focused on you. Lord, I pray that rather than try to assert ourselves, we may have you on the throne of our life in control of it. Lord, I pray that we may keep within the dimensions of our lives that you want us to have, that we may do the simple things well, that we may focus on the things that we understand and you want us to do. I pray that we may have your values. And I pray that we may have the peace that only comes from you, which solves our anxiety and gives us peace when we are in difficult circumstances, and allows us the patience to wait until you change the situation and deliver us. Lord, may we be in peace before you deliver us. Amen. Mary, if you anything to add?